once again, great job, man of God. Great job, man everywhere, handling everything from the first touch to the praise and worship to the ushering. Every phase of ministry today is handled by the men, and we thank God for our men on today. Amen. We thank God for our men. Amen. Amen. You all ready for the word of God? If you would, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet all over the building. I'm good, man. I'm good. Stand to your feet all over the building and grab a hold of your Bibles. Just grab your Bibles. Get your Bibles in your hands or your gadgets, whatever it is that you're using to follow through in the word of God. And turn them to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I want to come to you with a text entitled, Come Out from Among Them. I need you to touch at least five people and tell them, come out from among them. Yeah, five, not two and a half or three. Tell them, come out from among them. There should be something different on your life. Most of you got friends and maybe family. Can you just wave your hand at me if you're saved? If you just saved, wave your hand at me if you're for real saved. Yeah, not just saved on Sunday. We got that group of people too. Saved on Sunday, chilling with the enemy on Monday. Yeah, I'm talking about for real saved. Paul told us, come out from among them. He didn't say don't love them. He didn't say disrespect them. He didn't say hate them. But he said come out from among them. How can light walk with darkness? Yeah, Jesus himself said, I'd rather have you hot or cold than for you to be lukewarm. You either saved or you ain't saved. It ain't no such thing as I'm a little bit saved. You either love Jesus or you don't. You either been baptized in the Holy Spirit or you have not. You either going to heaven or you're going to hell. Can I get a witness in this place right now? Because some folks seem to think that hell ain't real. I don't want to find out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless his holy name. But folk are killing me these days trying to put people in heaven that have not lived a godly life. And I'm not a judge. Thank God I'm not. And I'm not going to get into actors and actresses and hip-hop people and sports people and all this that have gone on and their life was completely ungodly. But we're saying, and I'm reading stuff that says, I see the angels on the wings on their backs. And I'm like, Lord Jesus, what kind of wing could be? Stop, Pastor Locke. Stop. Get to the word of God right now. Somebody say, I'm saved.
I'm saved.
Come out from among them then. Come out from among them. Come out from if you're saved. How can you continue to walk with people who are not exemplifying what should be exemplified? Yeah, because if you're saved, then the Bible says you got to find some new friends. If you want, the Bible says to show yourself friendly. That's how you find. How many of you know God can send you some saved friends? God will send you some saved friends. Okay. There's only so long you can work on Gladys. Only so long. I know that's your girl. I know it is. But it's only so long. So if Gladys still want to clown, sleep around, club, cuss, you got to tell Gladys, I love you, baby, but I need to keep it rolling. I'm going to pray for you, but I can't no longer roll with you. Because I got a secret to tell you. You're not that good. Sooner or later, you'll fall back into the same level of calamity that God brought you out of because you're not as strong as you think you are. Can I get a man to get a witness in this place? You're not as good as what you think you are, man of God. Come out from among them. You can't walk with him no more. I know that's your partner. I know y'all know each other since y'all was six. I get all that. But he ain't serving Jesus. You are. Love him from where you are, not from where he is. Bring him to you. You can't go to him. You just got saved. Drinking was your problem. You can't witness in the bar. You can't do it. That's a weakness in your life. We said, Pastor, I got saved. Absolutely, but you still got some weaknesses. Oh, lean on somebody and say, you still got flesh issues. Don't you act like everything has been renewed and you ain't got no problems and you ain't got no hang-ups and you ain't got no hookups. You still got some stuff wrong with you. Lean on somebody and say, I know what it is, too. Go and tell them, I know what it is, too. I know what it is. I know what your problem is. 1 Samuel 9, 1 and 2. 1 Samuel 9, 1. There was a wealthy, influential man named Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. He was the son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Becherath, son of Aphiah, of the tribe of Benjamin. You need to know right now, the Benjamin tribe, the smallest of the 12 tribes out of Jacob's loins, the smallest, of whom Benjamin was the progenitor of that particular tribe. His son, Saul, was the most handsome man in Israel. Wow, that's major. Head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. Skip quickly to verse 15. Quickly to go down to verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel the previous day about this time tomorrow. Say tomorrow. I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him. Say that real loud. Okay, let me have the men say it. Say it real loud, men. Anoint him. To be the leader of my people, Israel. He will rescue them from the Philistines, for I have looked down on my people in mercy and have heard their cry. I want to give you my definition of the anointed. There's a number of definitions, but I want to give you mine. The anointing consecrates and separates the call of God from the call of man. Yeah. The anointing consecrates and separates the call of God from the call of man. Man will try to say someone's anointed that really is not. They just sing good. Just because you sing good doesn't mean that you're anointed. We have to get out of the entertainment mindset. It's not about entertainment. I don't care how good someone can sing. It is the anointing that destroys the yoke. Do you know how it's good when you're listening to somebody and your life start to change? You start to be convicted. They're singing about he's a good, good father. And all of a sudden, all that hate that's been in your spirit, it starts with. But see, when you're just singing in the melody, that's not necessarily the anointing. You're like, oh, yeah, that's a great. Oh, that sounds good. But is the anointing on it? Does it break yokes? Does something happen when they open their mouth? Whew. Are they set apart? The anointing sets you apart. Told you, you all have heard me say this about my wife before, and I don't even say it jokingly, I'm serious. Well, my wife and I were first dating, and I was trying to hold her hand and wanted a little kiss every now and then. Just every now and then. My wife was real strict on that. Didn't really want to hold my hand, didn't want to hug me. Was giving me church hugs after like a month or so dating. Y'all know what I'm talking about? She was giving me the church hug. And I was like, girl, get on up here. And she simply told me, I don't want to mess up my anointing. Whew. Because the anointing, watch this, the anointing is what has kept me. The anointing has kept me from falling. But yet my wife was saying, but I'm still flesh. So even though you're anointed, you got to protect yourself. Because the anointing won't stop you from falling into bed with somebody. Oh my God, this is so good, everybody. You're still anointed. But something got broken, interfered with. That's why you got to protect the anointing of God on your life. So he says, I've looked down on my people in mercy and I've heard their cry. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said, that's the man I told you about. Wait a minute. I need a man in here to say, I'm the man.
Amen.
Oh, that was weak. That was weak, weak, weak. I mean, say it like you're really the man. I mean, say I'm the man on three. One, two, three.
I'm the man.
Samuel saw Saul, he said, that's the man I told you about. He will rule my people. Just then Saul approached Samuel at the gateway and asked, can you please tell me where the seer's house is? I am the seer, Samuel replied. Go to the place of worship ahead of me. We will eat there together, and in the morning I'll tell you what you want to know and send you on your way. And don't worry about the donkeys that you're looking for. You got to read more of it to understand what he's talking about. He said, for they have been found, and I am here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes. Samuel tells Saul, go to the place of, say worship.
Worship.
Go to the place of?
Worship.
Go to the place of?
Worship.
Revelation precedes worship. Yeah. You want to know what God is doing in your life? Worship. God brings revelation after worship. Too many folk want to know what God is doing without worshiping. Can I say this on this Father's Day? I don't get a man that's afraid to worship. Man, I need y'all to be with me right now. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't feel it. I ain't feeling it right now. I don't get that you're not built that way. I don't get that you're too cool. I don't understand that. When it comes into the presence of God, how is it that you're going to go to heaven if you don't worship? All you do in heaven is say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You too cool to worship? Listen, I know I had problems. Believe me, I know when I was first saved, man, I did. I'm not going to even front. I did. I come into church and, you know, and worship be going on and church was mostly women, and you see all the women just going in and their hands all raised, and, you know, I'm in there, and, you know, I got my hands halfway up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't y'all look at me like I'm crazy. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. The pastor say, lift your hands, and you like this. And you looking around. You know, I was doing that. You looking around trying to see who's looking at you. You know, man, you know, I don't want them to look at me, you know, as if lifting your hands is a sign of weakness. Lifting your hands is a sign of strength. What happens, worship is a matter of the heart. Because if God can get a hold of your heart, let me tell you right now, those hands will pop up so doggone fast, it ain't even funny. Your hands will pop up. I need to talk about a man that will worship in his car, that'll be right at a stoplight and will be like, glory. I need to talk to a man who ain't afraid to worship and cry. I need to talk to a man who ain't afraid to come out to the altar area, get down on his feet, get down on his face, and say, for God I live, and for God I die. Can a man say, I'm the man?
I'm the man.
If you're the man, worship like you a man. Praise like you the man. Come out from among them. I don't care about Tyrone. I don't care about Rodney. I don't care about Pookie. He don't know what you've been through. When it's time to worship, it's time to worship. You ain't worried about nobody in your life. As good as God has been to you, how can you not lift your hands? How can you not sing a song of I'm not built that way? Who built you? You didn't build yourself. God built you. He built you so that your hands would... God's got a button in every man. And okay, I tell you what, if you get arrested, I bet them hands go up. I'm messing around. Y'all messing with me. Where Pastor Mike at? Where Mike at? I think he took the money somewhere. He did. I think he took the money. The bottom line, Pastor Mike come up. What Gary? There you are, Gary, police officer. You come around there and you got your pistol on him. You say, hands up. What them hands doing? Them hands is up. And that's a police officer. That's the law. What about putting your hands up because of grace? Ooh, Jesus. I ain't talking about doing some legalistic mess based upon some Old Testament things. Jesus came to reveal what was old and make it new. Jesus came out of grace. No, he don't make you lift your hands. He never does. You lift your hands because you love him. Because you worship him. Because you honor him. Do I have a man in here that knows what I'm talking about in this place? Do I got a man that's a worshiper in the building? If I got a man, if I got about 18 or 50 or 60 men that are not afraid to get on their feet, lift their voices, clap their hands. Come on, men. Look at all these men in here, ladies. Men, go crazy real quick. Wait a minute. If I look across this auditorium and see a man sitting down, I'm going to come down there and tackle you right now. Get on up if you're a man in this place and get... I'm messing with y'all. Sit down, man. Sit down. I wasn't talking to you, man of God. I know what you got going on. I wasn't talking to you. I got young bucks in here that don't like to get on their feet. Young bucks, 20-something years old. Nah, that ain't what I do. Oh, what do you do? What do you do? Oh, I ain't made like, I just told you the way you were made. You ain't fashioned yourself. You ain't get here on your own. You got here by the grace of God. I tell you what, if hell get turned up hot enough in your life, I bet you will get them hands lifted. You saying you awfully rough on Father's Day, Pastor. Can a man say we need this? Just then Saul approached Sam at the gateway and asked, can you please tell me where the seer's house is? I am the seer, Samuel replied. Go to the place of worship ahead of me. Here we go with worship again. We'll eat there together in the morning. I'll tell you what you want to know and send you on the way. And don't worry, those donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, I know I read this, I'm back at it. For they have been found, and I'm here to tell you that you and your family are the focus of all Israel's hopes. Say worship. Breakthrough is on the other side of worship. Breakthrough. It's on the other side of worship. I was reminded of a particular passage here, so I want to go quickly to John 4, and this is Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. So here it is. He says, you, John 4, 22, you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews, the Jewish Jesus. But the time is coming, indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in what? In truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in I think I told you, but write it down anyway. Worship is a matter of the heart. Not external actions, and embraced by truth, not ceremony. It's a matter of the heart. It's not external actions. And as a brace, so it just be, here's the reality. Let me teach for a moment. Here's the reality is that you could have your hands lifted and not be one lick focused on God. That's why I say it's not about external actions. So it's not about just your hands being raised. It's about your heart being connected to what God is doing. Because everybody in this room has had their hands lifted before and not been focused. And worship is just not about your issue. Worship is not selfish and self-serving, where you're only worshiping because you're going through something. We worship him because he first loved us. That's because we're so undeserving of the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the love of God, but yet we worship him. We revere him. We bow before him because of who he is. Let me go quicker to verse 21, back to 1 Samuel. It says, Saul replied, but I'm only from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe in Israel, and my family is the least important of all the families of that tribe. That's powerful. Why are you talking like this to me? In other words, Saul says, I'm not qualified. Write this down. It's the call that qualifies you. It's the call. I introduced you all to Dr. Raymond here just a few moments ago, and yesterday at the men's conference, Bill read this man's bio and went into all of the degrees and all of these things, and I was like, wow, God has used you in a mighty way. Master's degree in theology, doctorate in theology as well. Just so many dynamic, incredible degrees. And God is using this man in such a mighty way. But can I tell you, that's not what qualifies him. It's the call. What? You're called before you get a degree. A degree can't qualify you. God has called you to be a father before you become a father. Nobody becomes a father by oops. Even if you were not perfectly in the will of God. Because there's a will of God and there's a permissive will of God. You know, we try to blame everything on God. And the reality is that, no, that was you. Okay? One of the greatest things he's given us is a freedom of choice. So it's the call that qualifies you. Watch this, verse 22. You all getting something? Then Samuel brought Saul and his servant into the hall and placed them at the head of the table, honoring them. Watch this, y'all. Saul has already said, look, I'm from the smallest tribe in Benjamin. You know, my clan is the weakest clan. And here it is, you're calling on me and you're saying that I'm about to save Israel and I'm about to be over these amazing people. And then the Bible says, he says, Samuel brings Saul and the servant into the hall and place them at the head of the table, honoring them above the 30 special guests. Isn't it just like God to bring you in front of everybody and honor you and favor you? Isn't it like God to mess around and he's not a God of jealousy, but although he says, I am a jealous God, but isn't it like God to put you and place you in a position where everybody around you couldn't imagine that you would now be pushed up and pulled up to a place of favor and God will favor you in front of everybody just like that? He'll put you on display. So here it is, Saul is at this table with 30 special guests. Samuel then instructed the cook, bring Saul the finest cut of meat. It had to be the fillet. The piece that had been set aside for the guest of honor. So the cook brought in the meat and placed it before Saul. Go ahead and eat it, Samuel said. I was saving it for you even before I invited these others. Jesus. Whew. Even before I had heard from God that God was going to use you to do this work, I had already saved it for you. God has already prepared your place of favor, and God always uses people to bring you to that place. Ooh, Jesus. God always uses people. I was saving it for you even before I invited these others. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. I was reminded, church family, I was reminded of another particular text that literally has rocked my life since the beginning time of me reading this, and it's in 2 Samuel 9, verse 1, and it's about this man, David, and it says this, one day David asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am. The king then asked him, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show kindness to him. God's kindness, not just any other kindness. If you want kindness, you want God's kindness. I don't want man's kindness, because man can be fake, phony, and indifferent. You'll like me one day, talking about me the next way. But I'm going to tell you right now, I want God's kindness on my life. Is anyone still alive from Saul's family? I want to show God's kindness to him. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He's crippled in both feet. The king quickly asked, where is he? Did you notice something like I did, that King David didn't even make any mention of the feet? Because Ziba said he's crippled in both his feet. All David said, where is he? All of a sudden we get to this place where Ziba says he's in Lodibar. Oh, he's among them. He's in Lodibar? You mean a descendant of Saul? Because David is now made king. He says, somebody in that lineage, he's in Lodibar? A place with no pasture, no growth. Everybody that comes out of Lodibar is down dirty and no good. Come on, Youngstown folk. Y'all know they say that about Youngstown. Come on, Pharaoh, you know they say that about Pharaoh. They say Pharaoh is a little Youngstown. He said, where is he? Ziba said he's in Lodibar. So he's in a place where all the people have been thrown away. Y'all hear me, Teen Challenge men? Where is he? Oh, he's in Teen Challenge. He's in that place where everybody forgets about him. He's in that place that I know they do that church thing, but most of them won't make it out of there alive. Most of them will die in their spirit before they get out. King David wants to know, where is he? Ziba said he's crippled in both feet. David tells Ziba, he says, go get him. I need you to notice something right quick. David says, go get him. Watch this. Bring him to me. See, you must come out before God will take you up. No, watch this. David says, I'm not going to where he is. You go get him and you bring him where I am. Because when he comes with I am, the very essence of his atmosphere mentally, ooh, this is so good, you all. You got to get out of where you are in order for you to get a fresh perspective on life. You got to get out. If you've lived and you felt stuck in an apartment all of your life, but your great dream is to have a beautiful home, I double dog dare you, drive in your car or have the bus drop you off and walk through a neighborhood or where you want to live and walk to that place and say, I'm claiming right now by the blood of Jesus. Hey, how y'all doing? By the blood of Jesus. Now, don't call the police. It's all good. By the blood of, some of y'all missed that. Don't call the police. I ain't here to steal nothing. I ain't here to steal nothing. I'm just here. I ain't bothering nobody. Call the police. I don't care. I'm claiming that house right now in the name of Jesus. That's going to be my house. I'm coming out of loaded bar. I'm coming out of that. Girl, why you going over there? You ain't going to never be in a bar. The devil is a liar. God said that I got favor on my life. God is going to bless me. I'm the head and I'm not the tail. I'm blessed and I'm not cursed. Mom and them ain't never had nothing like, well, I ain't mom and them. I'm going to the next level in my life right now. I got faith. Yeah. Let's go. You got to come out. You got to come out of your mental state. You got people wearing you out emotionally, mentally. You ain't going to never be nothing. You ain't going to never grow into nothing. Don't nobody do nothing in this family. Well, they didn't until I got here. Because I'm going to be the first one. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm the first one in my family to break the financial curse. I'm the first one in my family. I'm first grandchild to ever go to college and graduate. God gets all the glory, but I be doggone. I'm not staying in loaded bar no longer. Do I got a man in here that's saying, come out from among them? Do I got a man in here that'll say, I'm not staying in loaded bar, not another minute, not another moment? I got something to tell you, men, because y'all got it twisted. A pretty girl don't get you out of loaded bar. You driving a car you can't even afford to pay for. Oh, but all the homies see you. That don't get you out of loaded bar, man. You get out of loaded bar in your head before you. You've been mentally attacked. Let me tell you, men of God, let me talk to my Teen Challenge men for a second right here. Men of God, you will get out of that state of your life when you begin to think about emotional freedom. When you begin to think about deliverance from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you understand that God puts you in Teen Challenge to save your life so that many of you would be dead if it wasn't for Teen Challenge. Don't y'all look at them like that. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you know you'd be dead. Somebody give God some praise all over this place. David sent for him. David sent for him. David said, he said, Ziba, go get him. Go get him. Now Ziba's saying, now David, I just told you he crippled both of his feet. He crippled David. I began to think about myself. I began to think about being in the place of loaded bar. I began to think about 9 years ago this month. I was in a place called Loaded Bar, and I was trying to make a way of escape. Yeah, I was trying to move. I was about to move to Columbus. Man, all hell was breaking loose. Stuff was just jacked up. I had a business that closed. Man, I was just messed up. My wife and I had just had a beautiful baby girl, but she was born with Down syndrome. We just trying to figure out life and what in the world, and I'm just trying to run away. And I'm like, Lord, what in the world is going on? And then all of a sudden, my phone rang. And I answered the phone. It was June 1st of 2008, and I said, hello. And it was my pastor. He said, Locke, where are you? I said, I'm just driving so-and-so. He said, can you be at my house in 20 minutes? I said, yeah, I can be there. Drove up to the house, got out, went on the porch, sat down. He said, we've had something happen over at the campus that we just planted. It's a new day and it's a new season. I'm sitting here with you to tell you, I believe you're the man to go and pastor that church. But pastor, I ain't got no degrees in theology. I ain't never did this before. But you've been called. And that is what qualified you. So it's time to go. You ain't got 30 days to pray about it. Sometimes God does it suddenly, and he sent me to tell you, come out. Come here, Brian. Come here, Lee. Come here, Lee. Come here, Lee. And I'm, come on. And I was like Mephibosheth, and see, no. Physically, I was fine. I had no issues physically. I'm very, very healthy. I was healthy 9 years ago, so it wasn't that. But I want to equate this to Mephibosheth because it was as though God told my pastor, he said, go get him. See, my pastor didn't say, Locke, where are you? I'll come meet you. He said, where are you? Come to me. Not that he's a king, although he is a king in the earth. God has kings in the earth. You got to understand that. God's had kings in the earth. Okay, there's a many. I can name a ton of them. But he's one of the kings in the earth. We don't worship him. Come on, you all. But he's one of the kings in the earth. They said, come to me. And so I came to him, and he told me what he told me. But I like Mephibosheth. It was like, but I'm crippled. I ain't been thinking straight lately. Somebody help me, y'all. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Somebody help me. Stop thinking you got to have your life all together before God will call you to do something. Oh, I got to get my life right. No. You just be available. That's all you need to do. Just be available. And so here it is. He calls me and he says, you about to go. And so I began to think about Mephibosheth. I began to think about how David told Ziba, because Ziba says he's at Machir's house. He's at Machir's house. He said, well, go get him. David had already said, but his feet's crippled. David doesn't even address it in the Bible. As to say, I ain't worried about his feet. Go get him. So have you ever thought about, well, how'd he get there? Wasn't no wheelchairs. So Ziba had to call on two men that were, no, don't drag me, lift me. Yeah. Well, no. That's a teaching moment. That's a teaching moment. I'm so glad y'all did. That's a teaching moment. Don't drag nobody. Lift them. Don't drag me. Lift me. Yeah. But the thing about it, this is so good. The thing about it, this is good teaching, you all. Don't drag me into church. Lift me. But they would say it's going to take more strength. Absolutely it is. But you'll prevent me from harming myself if, oh, that's good. Lift me. So the Bible says that they brought Mephibosheth. Put me down. I feel like y'all about to throw me into the crowd or something, man. So watch this. The Bible says that they bring Mephibosheth to David. I need y'all to feel the power of this. They brought Mephibosheth to David. All Mephibosheth knew was Lodebar. Everybody he looked at looked like him. And then all of a sudden he gets to the king. And he can't stand on his feet. He's crippled. But the Bible says as soon as he gets into the presence of the king, he bows. He don't ask what I'm doing here. How did I get here? He just bows. When the king shows up on the scene, you all you do is bow. And before you know it, David tells Mephibosheth, you about to eat at my table. You about to eat the best of the best. I've been looking for somebody like you, somebody I can show God's kindness to. And all I know is that Mephibosheth can't get to that table by himself. He's got to be picked up. And so the men had to come over there, and they had to lift him up and take him. Okay, enough of Mephibosheth. I began to think about to myself that Jesus said when he was on that cross, stop. Y'all not even with me. Y'all don't understand where I'm going. Jesus said, if I be, I will draw all. When God lifts you up, it draws men unto you. When God brought me in this church, all of you men got in here because the Jesus. Come on, man of God, let's go in. Somebody give God some praise in this place. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. When God lifted me up in 2008, I had no idea I would be standing before y'all today. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's the Jesus in me men that have brought you here. But I got lifted up when I thought I was going to die. I had suicidal thoughts, ready to take myself out. I was broke in emotions and finances. But God forced me to live another day. And now we're here together, worshiping God, giving God glory, giving God praise, because he gave me another chance. Put somebody and say, God will give you another chance. Get on your feet, shake somebody, and tell them, come out from among them. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. Come out! Y'all not hearing me. Come out from among them. Yes. You shook the wrong person. Go behind you. Shake them again. And tell them, come out. Tell them, come out. Is the church hearing me? Are y'all hearing me, church? Say yeah! Say yeah! Say yeah! Woo! Come out! Come out! It's time! Come out! Come out! Come out! Come out from among them. Ain't a dress you can put on. Ain't a purse you can carry. Ain't a man that you can date that can change the attack that's been happening on your mind. Come out. Come out. You in this place right now and you said, I'm not going to wait another moment, another day. I'm coming out. Run to this altar right now. Come on, run to this altar. Run, 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 run. 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 Come out. I can feel it in my bones. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. It's a day of breakthrough. begin to minister. Begin to minister. Holy Spirit is beginning to speak to me. David, come here. David, come here. David, come here. You, yes, come here. Intercessors, begin to pray. Begin to pray. Begin to walk around. Begin to pray. It's freedom time. Connie, come on down here. Come out. 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 That's a good picture of where you're going. That's a good picture of where God's taking you. That's a good picture. That's a good picture. It's a good picture. It's a good picture where God's taking you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 You're still dealing with forces. You're still dealing with attacks. You're still dealing with stuff that is messing you up. The devil is a liar. Keep holding that baby. Keep rocking that baby. Keep speaking to that baby. Keep speaking to that womb. You're holding where you're going, says the Lord. You're holding where you're going, says the Lord. David, there's no mistake. Lift your hands, man of God. There's no mistake that I have spent much of my time here today speaking about King David. For I hear the Lord saying unto you, man of God, that you've got influence on your life. You've had it since you were a little boy. And the Lord says that you have many followers. But I hear God saying unto you, I am waiting for you to change what has been your normal. For even as I have brought you into the house of God, the Lord says, your past has yet had a stronghold on you. For I hear the Lord saying that you're having a difficulty with serving completely and wholly and yet being respected by your peers. But I hear the Lord saying that today, David, I call you out. Because I say unto you, David, that there are friends who are awaiting your full fervency of Christ Jesus. For there are those who have not crossed the threshold to grace, who are still wanting to party, chase women, drink, and kick it. But the Lord says, I am calling you to a new place of praise and worship. Because I hear the Lord saying, as David is in the earth, so are you. For the Lord says, I place souls, ooh, Jesus. I hear the Lord saying, there's souls that are connected to your life. And from the moment you get to the place where you're no longer playing, you are serious about this life, and the next get-together that you throw is about Jesus crucified, the Lord says, I will bring old friends to Christ on your behalf. So, man of God, get ready. I'm breaking off every old thing off of your life right now in the name of Jesus. I'm stripping you right now of everything that you have depended upon, everything that you thought made you you. The Lord says, I'm taking you to the next level. Man of God, I hear the Lord saying specifically to you, come out from among them. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. It's time. You can't live in both worlds. You can't. You can't. And there's such influence on your life. to give it to you like God has given it to me. The Lord says, you got friends, man, that are cracked out. Drug addicted, heroin addicted. I hear the Lord saying, he's putting in your mouth right now like oil. And he says, you're going to begin to minister to them. You're going to call them on the phone. You're going to send a text and you're going to say, I'm praying for you. And they're going to send a text message back, something about kicking it in something. You say, no. I'm serious. I'm praying for you. God says it's time for you to come up and for you to come out. I hear the Lord saying unto me right now, you don't realize it, but you've got power in your hands, man, to break the spirit of addiction right now in the name of Jesus. And I lay hands upon you right now in the name of Jesus. You will break the spirit of addiction off of many, says the Lord. Get ready, man of God. The freedom of Jesus is all. Somebody give God praise in this place right now. You with that orange thing right there. You, right there. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. The Lord is speaking to me about you. Come on up here, daughter. Come on up here. My God. My God. The Lord told me this. The Lord told me to tell you this. Watch this. Watch this. The Lord told me to tell you to spin around. Just turn around. Yeah, the Lord says, he says, I'm unwrapping you right now. I'm unwrapping you. There's bondage on your life. He said, I'm breaking every spirit of bondage on your life. Come on, begin to spin around right now. I'm breaking the spirit of bondage right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give God, I'm breaking every spirit of bondage. Intercessors begin to pray. Intercessors begin to pray over this woman right now. I break every spirit of bondage over your life, every deaf spirit, every spirit of physical and emotional abuse in the name of Jesus. Loose her. Loose. Loose. Loose her. And let her go. I don't know who she is, but she can sing. She can sing. Who is she? She's a wife. She's from Chicago. She can sing. I hear the Lord says the enemy is literally trying to choke her vocal cords. He's got a chokehold on her. That's why this loosening is so important. My God, give God glory in this place, y'all. Oh, my God. Can we do this all over the building? Find somebody next to you. Find somebody. Find one person next to you. Find one person. It could be your spouse. That's fine. Find somebody. Find somebody next to you. Don't look at me. Find somebody. Find somebody. Everybody in the building, find one person. Find one person. They're at the altar to find. I want you to pray with them. Pray with him right now. Pray with him. Pray with him. Pray with him. I want you to pray with him. Pray with him. Loose. 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 Come out. Come out. Come out from among them. Come out. Come out. Come out from among them. Come on. Speak into each other's lives. Speak into each other's hearts. Come out. Come out. Come out from among them. Come out. Come out. Come out from among them. Sheldon sing. What else can we do? She right here. Janice. That's it. Pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Your name is power.
just a moment, but I need all my men in the aisleways, in the frontal area, every man in the building, I need you right now. I need you. I need every man, every able man in the building. Get in these aisleways, get into this altar area. Every man. Yeah. There ain't nothing like a man that's been broken. You may not all be able to get up to this area. It's kind of tight. But if you can just park wherever you are, that's fine. And I want every man joining in. Let me tell you, men, hear me. The coolest thing you can do is worship Jesus. It's the coolest thing you can do, man. I'm telling you. The greatest thing you can do. Come on, lead us. Come on. Sheldon, Janice, come on. Oh, that sound good, man. Come on, man.
Somebody like you, Lord. Somebody like you, Lord.
Come on, man. Just men. Just men.
Somebody like you, Lord.
That's beautiful. All men. That's your war cry this week. That's your war cry. You're going to get hit with a few things this week. I'm telling you, a few things going to hit you. And all you're going to say is, yeah.
Nobody like you, Lord. Nobody like you, Lord.
No music. Come on, man. Listen to these strong men, women.
I really love you, Lord.
Take over your household, man. Take over your workplace, man. Take over that sports arena, man.
Say, I really love you, Lord. I really love you, Lord.
Everybody, come on, women, everybody.
Oh.
I speak the strength over you right now. Watch this, because you need it. I speak strength over you to come out from among them. In many cases in this room, it won't be easy, because some of you are tied to people, and so much of your life is dependent upon that. Whether it's living with somebody you shouldn't be living with, whether it's in communication and community with someone that you shouldn't be in communication with. And so what you see as risk, God sees as faith. You say, but how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that? Somebody say, God got you. I dare you to take a step of faith this week and come out from among them. And I guarantee you, God will make a way out of what you think is no way. But God is already so many steps ahead of you, church family. I want to speak the blessing over you, and forgive me for not starting this Sunday off by thanking you from the bottom of my heart for last Sunday's amazing blessings and gifts and words and all of that that you bestowed upon my wife and I for our 9th year pastoral anniversary. We thank you so much. We love y'all. We know we have the best church family on the planet. Was today off the chain or what? Somebody give God some praise in this place. Woo! Okay, let me do this just one more time, just because I'm a man and I love my men so much. Can the men just lift a thunderous applause right quick? Come on, men. Okay, watch this. Watch this. That was good. That was good, John. That was good. But men, when challenged, come to the next level. They always do. It's what men do. And so lift it again, men. Here we go. It went to a whole nother level just like that. Lift your hands all over the building. We love y'all so much. We're going to make our way out there into the hallway and just try to squeeze and love on as many of you as possible. Bill may want to gather some of the men, especially many of you who are wearing t-shirts, and maybe do a picture or something like that in here. Yeah, so men especially wearing these t-shirts, but you don't have to have a t-shirt on to get into the picture. So he's probably going to take a picture and stuff like that here shortly after the blessing. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. We certainly bless you coming and going. We bless all that you put your hands to. That is God intended for your very purpose. We bless this season in your life. Somebody say, it's my best season. We bless your homes, your jobs, your finances, and certainly, fathers, on this Father's Day, we abundantly bless you. I tell you, each and every week, God has given us one amazing life to live. Live it the very best that you can. Be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that you do what? Love on 3 people before you leave here. I love you. God bless you. We will see you next Sunday. God bless you.